Hello, hello. I am celebrity marketing expert Lori Levine.
Hey now, I'm digital content creator Lisa Levitt.
We are diehard Howard Stern Show listeners looking to connect with other female superfans, and this is the Paw Paw Podcast.
Hello, hello. Welcome to part two of the F word on the Paw Paw Podcast.
I think that Gary has that anticipatory anxiety, which is like, what's going to happen when daddy hears, and is he going to be mad? Mm-hmm. And he's going to have to take the wrath, which is why obviously Baba Booey was born. He never thought in a million years, he even said it. He's like, 20 minutes, you guys will get over this tomorrow. 30 years.
I'm going to set up the next clip for you. So here's the next one, and let me know what you think about this.
And we walk into the building, we go, okay, we got a car and it's got boxes in it. And they go, okay, great. The loading docks across the street, we basically brought our own boxes upstairs. There was nobody to help us. There was no glamour. There was no, anything. It was just, wow, this is some reception.
Okay. So this is really when they actually joined NBC and yeah. They were like, you know what? There was nobody there greeting them with open arms. They're like, yeah, your parking spot, have fun. And they had to schlep all their stuff, Robin and Fred. So talking about, hey, yeah, like they weren't warmly onboarded. And when they first had their first informal sit down with the powers that be, when Howard introduced them, I remember Fred, and this isn't verbatim, mentioned to Robin saying, okay, what do you think of this? Or Robin mentioned him, what do you think of this? And Fred was like, I don't think they want us here.
He said don't trust those guys, those are the sleaziest guys I've ever met, or exactly, they're a snake in the grass. Okay, so what he's referring to, again, let's just set the stage. 30 Rock is a building on 6th Avenue, between 5th and 6th Avenue, between 49th and 50th Street. It is huge. The Today Show is there, the Tonight mm-hmm. Show is there, Conan O'Brien was there, you know, everything was there for years, and it takes up a full city block. Rockefeller Plaza is there with the skating rink and a roller rink and all the shopping, whatever. It's a huge mecca.
Yeah.
Now, it's for those who think, like, big deal, they didn't help you up with your boxes. Let's just remember something. Number one, being a talent, on-air talent, and being asked to throw your stuff in a loading dock, that's not a parking spot. A loading dock is where the trucks are, and they shush in the garbage. Like, it's
picking
not
up the
glamorous
boxes for shredding and stuff. Yeah,
correct. And there they are being asked, or the any equipment for the building or for the shows and sets and things like that.
Yeah,
this is on-air talent. We're not talking about people who happen to you know be engineers in the back and they have to carry. They're like, hi, we're here. But when they got them and realized what they got, that's when the shit hit the fan. So what ended up happening was he was in DC. He was going to be on an FM station here in New York, and WNBC said, absolutely not. AM radio, we want you. Bought out his contract, took him in. And then the person who did that didn't necessarily get approval from the hires up. And then when they heard, they were like, you took that guy? No. That guy's not that. We already have IMUS. We don't need that guy. And instead of embracing him, they tried to destroy him. And that's where they met Pig Vomit. But that clip is really interesting to me, because Fred is saying, like, look, I'm still talent. I might work behind the scenes and you might not hear me, but I am still on air talent. I am still talent. I mean, he is still a performer. He's still a musician.
It's a common courtesy. You start a new job, you have a day one onboarding experience. Welcome.
And when I first heard it, I was like, why are you being such a baby? Just bring his stuff in. And then I thought, oh, no. What am I talking about? Fred is not the producer. Like, mm-hmm. as a television producer, as someone who's produced, TV shows and things like that, and events, it's like, okay, you just pick up where you, but I'm not the one on stage. It's not like I'm, you know, all of a sudden hiring, you know, some celebrity. I'm like, okay, listen, make sure you go through the loading dock and carry your stuff in, and like, you know, or like asking them to set up the red carpet they're going to walk. And so I think that it was really, I'm glad to have heard Fred refer to himself in that way, or at least say, like, listen, this wasn't right. And it wasn't. And, you know, because I think for anyone to hear it, who's, you know, not necessarily in the business, they wouldn't necessarily notice that he felt slighted. He felt like, wow, I'm an integral part of a show. I'm mm-hmm. on air. I am that person. And you're treating me like I'm, you know, and
riffraff.
Yeah. And not like, you know, just like some delivery boy, and I deserve more respect than that. And he does.
One of the things that I thought was really interesting is when you're, you know, obviously when Howard's always talking about, they're talking about, you know, obviously the corporate days of NBC and the bollocks that they had to go through over there. But one of the things,
I love that expression,
the bollocks.
The bollocks.
But then when Gary was talking with Fred, and I really liked it, it was like a back and forth conversation the other day. He was like, you know, if you thought NBC was bad, you know, what was my living hell? The FCC. So like, for me, I was just curious, Lori, because, you know, obviously we're hearing about it secondhand. We didn't get to live it. How, if you could, as a listener and, you know, seeing it firsthand, how bad was it really?
It like, was horrifying.
Gary gave the impression it was like any day they were walking on eggshells, they could get nuked. Right.
Yeah. So there was a lot that went on just in general. Number one, there was at WNBC, there was someone who literally sat there with a mute button. And every single minute they said something they didn't like, they could get a phone call, mute it, mute it, mute it, which basically like gives an 8 second dropout. You don't want it to hit air.
Yeah.
So there's that. But then also at the same time, when the FCC was coming after them, it was really messed up because Howard was fighting for free speech and he was getting fined for things that weren't necessarily illegal and that other people were getting away with. So, you know, it's, you know, Howard was getting a lot of politicians on board. Like, I don't know if you remember this guy, his name is Senator Al D'Amato. He was the senator for New York, one of the senators in New York State. And he was like, he was like, this is crazy. I'll testify for you. So it was a really big deal when he was able to get politicians involved. And every single day he was like, look, this is what I said, and this is what they're fining me for. And it really took its toll on him for sure. He talked about it endlessly. This went on for years and years and years because it was very much part of the, I'm just going to say the right, you know, and, you know, and I'm, you know, depending on how far you want to go, it was pretty far, you know, and sometimes there were certain, I want to be careful what I say here because not all, you know, groups are bad groups, but some of these, I'm not going to say which groups, but there are some religious groups that were very much against him. There were a lot of parental groups and, you know, quote unquote, people who said that they were good family groups.
They kind of used him as the mechanism or the talking point to kind of steer into like what they were trying to.
It was steering into censorship.
Yeah.
It was steering into censorship. And I don't know if you remember this at the time, but Tipper Gore, if I'm remembering this right, and to use your expression, keep me honest here.
I'll fact check.
But from what I recall, Tipper Gore was there to put, she had put into place restrictive packaging on certain CDs. So to say like this mature.
She was the one that implemented like for mature audiences only.
Correct.
On the CDs. Like,
right. And so that became, you know, that became also something that was, you know, indicative of the time. And it's like, look, I really agree that any piece of music or, you know, that has questionable language for children, then parents should know. Like it was basically a parental guidance piece of, you know, something, but you have to be careful about leaning on the side of censorship. And Howard has always been on the right side of that. And if you see how things have gone, the FCC, obviously it once cable TV came around and then they figured out how to make pay radio, which is satellite, you know, Sirius satellite XM radio. That's when you're just like, okay, well, censorship isn't a problem anymore. And he doesn't, you know, it was interesting to me when he moved over to satellite and he didn't abuse the idea of like, yes, you can say the F word, but he doesn't all the time. And I think it was exciting in the beginning, but it's not necessary. And he doesn't use it every day and every minute of every day. And actually when you can remember the time that Benji said F you, it was a huge, it was really disrespectful because like, you just don't speak like that to your boss. But even so, you know, he knew he could say it. It doesn't mean you should say it.
I'll drop it right here just as a recap, and we'll pose a question out on to the audiences. Do you think he would get if you pull that again? Do you think he would fly again?
How about if he worked anywhere else? Would
exactly.
It fly?
Exactly. Yeah. Just because to your point, just because you can say fuck doesn't mean you tell your boss on air to go, you know, fuck you.
I mean, it was even more high pitched than that.
Fuck
it was high pitched Benji.
Fuck you.
Do you know what I was thinking about though? So if you listen to Sternthology, there was something that played around August 4th or 5th. It posted onto Sternthology, which was, what is Sal going to do if Boff retires.
I don't think Sal could get a job anywhere else in this.
Oh, I had that thought this weekend, even before this conversation.
Yeah. You mean you were laying at home relaxing, thinking, gee,
I had a visit from Sal.
You had a visit from Sal. He was glowing and you said, where's that little clip from when we gave Sal a job interview with the head of HR?
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking about. I was like, I don't think Sal could actually get a job.
Oh, and I thought to myself, and then they asked him on air a few years back, like, what would you do? And obviously he was crying when they were renewing the first time around and then the second time around. But then Robin said, like, well, where are you going to work? He's like, don't worry, I'll get a job.
And what's your plan?
Right. What is his plan? And Robin was like, no, I want to know, because are you going to go back to finance? And he's like, no, I'll work in radio. I'm like, where?
The tree is the epitome of love. I mean, it's God's greatest gift.
But then I don't think that there was a place. Now I think that Sal and Richard could actually maybe figure out how to do a podcast, or could work on a show like Crank Yankers and things like that. I think that there could be a place for him now. But back then, I wasn't so sure. And it does make me think, we know Howard considers the staff when he's thinking about his renewal.
Yeah.
But sure. Now that things are a little, I mean, there's a lot of outlets now where people can be doing all kinds of things. There's, you know, the Jackasses of the world, the Crank Yankers of the world. There's so much. There's the Impractical Jokers of the world. I think that Sal and Richard suddenly have a place to go. And that really scares me, because before, I think Howard may have felt a little more pressure about where my guy's going to go. But now it's like, well, there's plenty of places for them to go.
There's
YouTube going on.
So that's really interesting. So there's like, Sal has the cooking, like, I know he does have also two,
the cooking podcast.
I think it's on Amazon.
Or sorry, YouTube channel.
And the staff do have like varying talents. So they could, you know, pick up side gigs or alternate careers in the future. Just using that as well, just to pivot a little bit, Gary also too brought that up in essence too, when talking to Fred and being like, okay, you know, your guitar playing, where, you know, is that something that's interest to you? And if you didn't do this when you made that move, what do you think you would have done? And his honest answer was like, honestly, I don't know. I was just trying to work. Like, I was just trying to find a career.
Yeah.
So like for Fred, you know, the fact that he's been in,
well, Fred
in
was
long,
bouncing around. Fred was bouncing around everywhere.
Literally just, you know, putting food on the table at that time for him. He doesn't necessarily think this was going to be a long-term gig, right? So,
well, it makes you think, like, is there divine intervention? Because really, Fred, you could hear it in his voice that he's like, when he was saying, I don't know, he really was like, I don't know.
I didn't know what I was going to do.
Yeah, Howard is, and Fred knows how responsible for his life Howard is. Howard picked him up out of obscurity, out of nowhere, brought him along, insisted that he get hired everywhere. Fred met Allison Norris on Dial a Date on air. He's able to, King Norris is, you know, him and his band, and they play out, and I've seen them play. And, you know, and then also if you, I don't know if you heard, I think it was on the day before Fred was on, they played that little bit from Janice Ian, and you can hear
the guitar Ian. And how she was like, oh man, this guy's really got this. And she was telling him to go higher. It was awesome.
It was really so impressive. And it really was just like, oh, my Fred.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, yeah, he really is an unbelievably incredible musician. The fact that way back in the day, this was such a huge scandal, this thing when the Rolling Stones had re-recorded the Harlem Shuffle.
Yes.
And they were getting ready to release it, and it was going to be exclusive on certain radio stations. And so Fred was like, I'll just figure it out. I'll try to do it. So he went and listened to the record, and then he recorded it in what he thought would be a sound alike to Mick Jagger. And he got so close to what it was that the record company called him, and they're like, are you listening to the show? That wasn't, we didn't play the song. It was,
yeah,
Fred.
What they had is they actually had like all with all records, even today, like there's a certain date where you might get sent in advance, or you can't play it until the drop date.
You know, we have it here first. We are the only station in town to have it. We have the Stones.
And we're the only ones who can play it.
We are the only show in all of New York. Now, you will not hear this song on any radio station in the country, or MTV, for that matter.
And Fred went off and spoofed this without even hearing the Rolling Stone version. And the management called in and said, well, how dare you? How dare you play the stuff? So he was so convinced.
More than how dare you. It's we're going to sue you.
We're going to sue you.
And he was like,
you can't play it early. It's not the Stones. It's Fred.
And it wasn't. But when you hear them side by side,
that's what a genius.
That's what a genius.
Without even hearing it, without even knowing, he just like, okay, if I was the Rolling Stones, how would I interpret the song, right?
So. He figured it out. Well, that's the genius of Fred. I mean, a lot of people can think that they're, you know, of what it's going to sound like, but that Fred can duplicate it, that he can duplicate the riffs, that he can duplicate the way Mick sings. I mean, that's Fred singing.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's just incredible. It was really just, it was a fun week. And yeah, I've been enjoying this. I hope that they continue doing, you know, I'm down for them to interview Benji.
I was just going to say that. You know what?
I want to go down. I want a half hour of the vortex.
Let's give us the vortex. If we know we're going into it, let's vortex away.
Yeah.
And you know, not, you know, go into it. And if he wants to have a serious conversation,
I don't care. I want to go down the deep dive. I miss it. I really want to know how he feels that now that he's got kicked out of the studio. And I also want to know how you make the sausage, like how he's delivering jokes. And we know that that's probably through some kind of like computer just system, like, you know, where, but you know, back in the day when you listen to the old shows with Jackie, you can hear paper moving. And then the minute Howard starts to read a joke that Jackie wrote, he starts laughing before the joke is even out. And then he cracks up at the end.
Yes.
It's the funny. And it really does lend itself. But like now you go back and listen to it again and again. And you're, I don't know, this is something really warm-hearted about. Like at least for me, I love knowing how they make the sausage. I love hearing all of that because it humanizes the people for me more, you know, it humanizes Jackie also in that way. But yes, I would love, I'm ready to go down the rabbit hole. Let's find out what's going on with Chicken. I want to know what's going on with Benji.
I want to know all the shenanigans. If he's dating, if he's still seeing that person.
Yeah. Did he buy any shirts?
Has he bought any shirts?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, and I know just to get off the Fred topic and something that's been keeping me awake at night, and I'm sure I'm counting down the weeks till they return, is I just want to know what happened with that cruise with Lenny Dykstra and Mamet and Derek before they, so, you know, that's how it happened.
Oh my God. I
so
totally
far out of our memories,
that.
Right? Like, but this is the
not
good
yours.
Thing, right? No, it's keeping me up at night. Like I can see that Mamet's still alive. So if he survived the cruise, congrats Mamet. But I'm just like, oh man. Like, so this is where they get you, right? They go on summer break and then like it's hot. But then enough weeks go by, you forget about it and boom, they're going to hit us with the Dykstra cruise one of these days. So
it's going to be more than that because I know that there's no way they gave everybody 3 months off. People are working and they're working on stuff and they're going packages right now.
I
think that there's stuff coming up for the fall. That'll be really, really,
there's Blit JD bits. You can hear like when they had their, they didn't go into detail, but Gary had like briefly mentioned that they were recording stuff before. So I'm sure they'll have so many.
Well, you and I both know that because my niece Hannah was sitting next to them, helping them record that.
Exactly.
So we know that there's stuff going on, but now also, and then, you know, we can wrap this up, but now that I go back and listen to like, priest and boy, boy and priest.
Yep.
It's okay because the boy's 19 and Danny is the boy. And then it's Blit and somebody. And so now that you know the voices, it's amazing to hear all that. And when you hear like that number one psychic and then just, and I don't know, the more we do the Papa, the more I love the show. Amazingly. I didn't think I could love it more considering that literally I talk about it every single day of my life with either you or Marianne Garvey or now Marianne from Brooklyn. And oh my God, it's just been incredible. Oh, did you notice who DM'd us?
Mr. Barda.
And?
Damn, am I missing? Oh, did I? I didn't even see it. Oh, I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm. Yay. Yeah. So we had a busy DM. So we'll see who we see.
I'm free to be
in the coming weeks.
Lisa Marie.
All right. Speaking of the F word.
Yeah.
You know, Miss Fretzel. Please, we've said too much probably we certainly said the F word a lot. But for all of our lady super fans who are listening and you want to come on the Papa, how do they get in touch with us?
To contact the Papa podcast, email us at thepawpawpodcast@gmail.com
or visit our Instagram page at the_pawpawpodcast for links to our social media and bonus video content. To watch or listen to more episodes, visit our website at thepawpawpodcast.com. Disclaimer: The Pawpaw Podcast is not in any way affiliated to The Howard Stern Show. We are a tribute podcast run by fans for fans.